So if you had a one-on-one with Jesus, you don't get an hour, you don't get 45 minutes, you don't get 30 minutes, you got a 10-minute window for you to be one-on-one with Jesus, and he asks you the question, what do you want me to do for you? How would you respond? Some of you have a laundry list of things you would ask them. You want them to save your son or your daughter. You want them to heal your body. You want them to help you with your marriage, help you in your finances, pray protection over our country. What would you ask Jesus if he asked you the question, what do you want me to do for you? We're in a year-long series on the questions that God asks us, and Jesus asks us. That's the questions in Mark chapter 10. It's one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. I got a lot of them, but they're got a lot of favorites. This is uniquely special. The Bible says that Jesus was on his way. Jesus was on the move. Jesus was going from one town to the other town, and he had an agenda, had a busy day, a lot of appointments, and he's walking through Jericho, and I've been to Jericho. Jericho means sweet fragrance. You come out of Jerusalem down to Jericho, and Jericho is this beautiful valley. I've been there with many of you. Beautiful fruits and vegetables. The water is plush, and it's a beautiful fragrance, and it's called sweet fragrance, Jericho. Jesus is on his way, and he's walking through, and suddenly he hears a guy by the name of Bartimaeus cry out of nowhere, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And the people in the crowd, the people in the city, weren't real nice about it. They told him to be quiet, told him to shut up, told him to be still and not to bother Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus wasn't discouraged by his negative friends. He cried out even more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And the Bible says something really beautiful. The Bible says Jesus stopped. Oh, I like that. There's no meaningless details in the Bible. Jesus stopped. There was a rush of people everywhere. People were excited. But the God that we have sung to today, the God that we worship, the God that we love, is never too busy when you cry out for help. And he stopped. I'm sure his disciples would probably say, "Jesus, we gotta move on. We've got an appointment. We got more people to see." But Jesus stopped. And he said, who's calling out to me? And the disciples brought blind Bartimaeus up to Jesus. And Jesus asked blind Bartimaeus the beautiful question, the same question that he's asking you today. He asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus said, I want to see. I want to be able to open my eyes and see. I've been blind my whole life. I want to see." And Jesus said to blind Bartimaeus, "Your faith has made you well. Be healed." And the Bible says something really miraculous happened. His eyes were open. He saw for the very first time. And then the Bible says this: he followed Jesus along the way. I'm going to give you real quickly. I know it's Family Sunday and we got a lot going on today, and there's a big golf tournament this afternoon, and I've got my grandkids Duke and Heidi here, so Tammy's got her hands full, so I won't be long. But I want to talk to you today about the character of God and the character of Jesus and how he's never too busy for you and never too busy for me. He hears our cries. He hears us. He sees us. He stops for us. And he gives us the ability to see things we've never seen before. And when we see them, It makes us want to follow Jesus more. I love that old hymn of the church. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. I want to follow Jesus. And that's what blind Bartimaeus did. He gave up everything. He surrendered his beggar's coat, and he followed Jesus. And I want to do that today. If you're with me this morning, let's go to Mark chapter 10. I'm going to give you 5 points today out of this story that I think is going to help us. If you're with me this morning, let me hear an amen. Amen. Here's point number one. There's only five. You got notes. I want you to see in this verse of scripture and what is called the Jesus' big ask. What do you want me to do for you? Number one, I want you to notice that grace has an open door policy. I love that. It says in verse 46, when they came to Jericho, Jesus and his disciples were together with a large crowd, and they were leaving the city, and a blind man, Bartimaeus, cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." You see, grace always has an open door policy. You see, Bartimaeus, his name means unclean. His name means dirty. His name means you're not part of the crowd. You're not the in-group. You have been discarded. You have been overlooked. You have been neglected. And I love the fact that Jesus has an open door policy with us. Grace has an open door policy with us. And it doesn't matter how dirty you are, how unclean you are, how neglected you are, you always have the ability of having an open door policy with Jesus. And Jesus can take somebody that has been neglected and forgotten and overlooked, and he can take them and make them into something really, really beautiful. See, there's some people here today, you feel like God has overlooked you. You feel like God has neglected you. You don't feel clean enough. You don't feel good enough. You don't feel like you've got it all together, but Jesus and grace has an open door policy, and he can take something that has been neglected and overlooked, and he can make that into something really, really beautiful. Can I get an amen? Many of you know, I go fishing 5 days a year, and I went to Montana just a couple weeks ago. Went fishing for 5 days. You also know, if you've been around a while, you know that I like to paint, and I like to find pieces of wood, and I like to paint fish on pieces of wood. So I was up in Montana, we were at a campground, and I noticed a big bonfire that was probably about 6 foot tall with hundreds and hundreds of pieces of wood. And naturally, Pastor Scott's going to go up to the bonfire, and I noticed a beautiful piece of wood. I said to the guy, I said, what are you going to do with this? He goes, "Oh, we're going to burn it." I said, "Oh, no. You're not going to burn that one beautiful piece of wood that I see." And I picked up, and I didn't know it at the time, but this piece of wood was 400 years old. I've never seen it before. It's called Montana timber or Montana juniper tree. And we took a picture of it on AI. And this piece of wood is between 400 and 500 years old. Sitting in a heap of wood, discarded, unclean, dirty, overlooked, rejected, just a dirty, unclean piece of wood. You remember a couple weeks ago, I found out that a dear friend of mine, Chris Niles, had passed away. That was the weekend I returned home. I found out on my way home after church, and as soon as I heard that, in my grief, in my sorrow, I started working on this piece of wood. I've done hundreds of them. And went home that afternoon and started working on this beat up, abandoned, overlooked piece of wood. And in my grief and in my sorrow, I was able to take that piece of wood and turn it into something beautiful. I don't understand what painting does, but in my times of grief and heartache and sorrow, I take great joy in taking something that is unclean, dirty, abandoned, and trying to make something beautiful out of that. What I love about this story in Mark chapter 10 is God, Jesus, has the ability of, in the middle of a busy day, stopping and seeing beauty in what most people would view as discarded and neglected. God always has room for you and I, and it's called His grace. Can I get an amen? You'll see in your notes, there's a great hymn of the church. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. Grace always has an open door policy, and He takes something that's beat up and neglected and deserted and forgotten and disgraced, devalued, and makes something beautiful out of it. Number two, I love this one. In this story, you will see small people will always try to silence you from the cry of faith. Small people. Look at Mark 10. Look up there on the screen, and it says there in verse 48, and many people rebuked him. Say that word, many. Do you know what that means? It means many. Point number two. Small people will always try to silence your cry of grace. Small people, many people rebuked him. He said, be quiet. I love what Oswald Chambers says. The opposition of the crowd is the opposition of the devil. The crowd always wants to silence the cry of faith. Let me give you 10 people to avoid. 10 people that will try to keep you silent. 10 people that will try to discourage you from following Jesus and crying out to Jesus. I've got 10 of them here. Number one, I call them the shushers. And these are the people that tell us just to keep the peace, be quiet, and be silent. Number two, the realists. These are people that just tell us to face the facts. Jesus doesn't care about you. Jesus doesn't have time for you. You're just an abandoned piece of wood on a bonfire. But the realists say, just face the facts. You may never get healed. Number three, the accusers. These are people that are always focusing on finding faults. Number four, the keepers. These are the people that just love the status quo. Don't rock the boat. We like it just like it is. And these are the people that will keep you from receiving your miracle. Can I get an amen? Amen. Number five, the scoffers. These are cynics who mock and they doubt. Jesus won't stop for you. Jesus doesn't care. Jesus is too busy. He'll never help you out. They're the scoffers. Number six, the defeatist. They just tell us to accept it and make peace. Number seven, the intellectuals. They only rely on logic and reason and no faith. Number eight, the pragmatists. They say, take matters into your own hands. Number nine, the judges. They critique and they criticize and they scrutinize. Number 10, the complainers. They chronically are negative and will always down your faith. And I'm going to give you one that I came up with this morning. I call them the drainers. These are people that will slowly withdraw strength and energy from you. Are y'all with me this morning? Do you have any of these people in your life, in your family, on the job? And when you're calling out saying, Jesus, I need you to do something for me. I'm blind. I feel abandoned. I need you to come and help me. These people say, oh, no, Jesus can't do it. Jesus doesn't do miracles anymore. Jesus doesn't care for you. Jesus is too busy. These people will keep you from your breakthrough if you allow them to. Thank you. Gabby, I saw a drainer this weekend. Now, I got to say this. It was nobody in this church. None of you drain me. But I saw this person this week, and I knew they were going to drain me. I knew they were going to sap energy out of me. I knew they were going to take the positive energy that I had, and they were going to suck it out of me, and they were going to suck me dry and leave me empty. Now, I love them, I pray for them, but I avoid them at all costs. Why? Because you and I can't afford to allow other people to try to defeat us from our breakthrough. There are some people that you have to say no to. Are y'all with me? And if you don't, they will drain you, they will discourage you, they will tell you to only use logic and reason, and they'll keep you from the miracle that God has for you. Stay away from some people who will rob you of the miracle that Jesus has for you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Number three, I love this. In this story, you're going to see that the cry of faith will stop heaven's procession. The cry of faith will stop heaven's procession. Verse 49 says, Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man. And he said, cheer up and on your feet. He's calling you. See, the King of Glory halted his royal possession to listen to a begging plea. No sincere cry for Jesus is ever wasted. He hears, he halts, and he heals. I hope you heard that. No silence, cry for Jesus will ever be wasted. Duke and Heidi, he hears, he halts, and he heals. What do you want Jesus to do for you today? And when you call out, he'll stop. What do you want me to do for you? How can I help you? How can I heal you? I hear you, I'm going to halt, and I'm going to help you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Number four, quickly. Drew, if you'll go up and get ready. Number four, in life, sometimes you have to give up to go up. Everybody say give up. Look at verse 50. Mark chapter 10, verse 50. And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet, and he came to Jesus. It's called a beggar's cloak. And I happen to have one here right now. Look at this, guys. It's called a beggar's cloak. Everybody in the town knew by this coat that Bartimaeus was a beggar. He didn't have to say a word. Why? Because in the history, this coat was given to beggars, and only beggars could wear this coat. It was his security blanket. If he held on to this, he was guaranteed a little bit of income. But something beautiful happened when Bartimaeus encountered Jesus. When he called out and said, I need you to heal me. I need some help. I don't want to be forsaken or forgotten sitting on a pile of wood the rest of my life. I need you to do something for me. The Bible says that Bartimaeus took his coat and he threw it down. It would be like you giving up your Social Security check. Well, that hit home, didn't it? When he made the decision that he was going to throw his coat down and follow Jesus, he was saying, I am not going to depend on the government. I am not going to depend on other people. I'm not going to wear this coat and be labeled as a beggar for the rest of my life. The Bible says when Jesus had come, he took his coat and he cast it aside and followed Jesus. I'm wondering today what you're hanging on to for your security. I'm wondering today what you're holding on to that if you want to go up, you've got to give up. See, Jesus is going to require something of you, and you've got to be willing to give it up so you can go up. When your daddy, Heidi and Duke, was a little boy, Aaron. I've told this story before. I love it. He was about 2 years old, and he was real chubby like his granddad. And Aaron was sitting in a high chair, and he loved cookies. So I put one cookie in his right hand and one cookie in his left hand. And then I did something really bad. Bad grandpa. Bad dad. I took one more cookie and I waved it right in front of Aaron's face like this. And Aaron was sitting there with an Oreo in one hand and an Oreo in the other hand. And then dad was waving another Oreo. And Aaron did something really beautiful. He looked at this, he looked at this, and he made the decision. In order for me to go up, I've got to give up. If I'm going to get that cookie, I can't grab that cookie if I'm holding on to a cookie. If I want to take that, I've got to be willing to let go so I can go up. As Jesus was confronting Bartimaeus and bringing hope and grace to him, he knew that Bartimaeus had to be willing to give something up to go up. It could be a friend. It could be a relationship. It could be somebody on Facebook that you're allowing them to drain you of your faith and they're pulling you down. You got to be willing to give up to go up. And Bartimaeus made a beautiful choice. He said, I'm not going to hang on to something that's going to give me comfort and something that's going to guarantee me a little bit of income. I'm going to throw this off and I'm going to run after you, Jesus, because I not only want to see, I want to have a life of purpose and a life of destiny. I want to do something with my life and I'm not going to be limited by wearing a beggar's cloak. I'm going to cast it off and follow you. Point number five, we got to go. Are y'all with me? Here it is. Oh, Elizabeth Elliot says this. If we hold tightly to anything given to us, unwilling to let go when the time comes, we stunt the growth of the soul. How true. Number five, clear vision will cause you to lose sight of everything to follow Jesus. Jesus said, go. Your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight. Watch this. And he followed Jesus along the road. A.W. Tozer says this, the man who has God for his treasure has all things in one. The saint's secret is in the phrase, looking away from all else and unto Jesus. See, Bartimaeus got his vision back, and he was able to lose sight of everything to follow Jesus. Can you imagine some of the beautiful things that he saw as Jesus performed miracles, fed the 5,000, healed the sick, prayed for the demon-possessed, and Bartimaeus was there, and he saw it firsthand because he was willing to follow Jesus for the rest of his life. So on the bottom of your notes, I'm asking you a question that Jesus asked Bartimaeus. Here it is. What do you want me to do for you? And I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer it. But I want you to take a moment as Drew's playing beautifully in the background. I want you to write down what you want Jesus to do for you. And we're going to pray. And we're going to believe that God is going to show up and do something beautiful in your life. What do you want Jesus to do for you? We're going to take a minute. I want you to think about it. I want you to get a pen out. I want you to get a paper out. I want you to get the notes out. And I want you to write down, Jesus, this is what I'm asking you to do for me. Heal my body. Help me with my finances. Save my daughter. Save my grandkids. Heal our country. Keep us safe. What do you want Jesus to do for you? Could be a word, it could be a sentence. Some of you may need a few more pieces of paper to keep writing. He's not too busy. He'll stop. He'll heal your cry. And he'll heal you as you call out to him today. Now, this is what I want you to do. If you're really serious, you don't have to do this. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be a little uneasy. It's going to be a little uncomfortable. But I think the story of Mark chapter 10 is that Jesus responds when we do things that are a little unordinary, a little unorthodox. And right now there's a voice inside of you saying, don't do it. Don't get crazy with this. Just sit down, and that could be the very thing that's going to keep you from your breakthrough today. With your piece of paper that you wrote down what you want Jesus to do for, in just a moment, I'm going to have you stand up where you are. And I want you to say, Son of David, have mercy on me. As you're holding in your hand your prayer request with your voice, not my voice, not Drew's voice, your voice, I want you to cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And believe that whatever you wrote down on your paper, that God's going to respond and God's going to help you. Now, if you remain seated, I want you to know I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to look down on you. I'm believing that God's going to speak to people who are desperate. They need God to open their eyes. They need God to do something powerful, and they're willing to take a little bit of risk and do something they've never done before. Son of David,
have mercy on me.
Thank you. Somebody else. He sees you. He hears you. He's going to stop for you as you cry out with the cry of faith. God, we need your mercy. Please help us. We need you today. Let's pray together. Father, we stand and we are here together. Let's all stand together. Lord, we recognize that there's some things that we can't do on our own. We're not smart enough. We're not big enough. We're not tough enough. We've reached a dead end. We don't want to depend on anybody other than you. So, Father, in desperation, like Bartimaeus, we cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. I want to see. I want to live. I want to dream again. I don't want to rot in a pile of wood and just get burned up. I want to declare beauty to you, my Creator. So we cry out in faith today, Son of David, have mercy on us. We're grateful that you hear us. We're grateful that you care for us. Grateful that you're going to stop for us. We're grateful that you're going to help us. In faith today, we cast off every care, every crutch, and we simply run to you today. We ask you to help us. In Jesus' wonderful name.